This is going to be short, I promise, because we have food waiting for us. But I have a question that I'm just curious to know the answer to. Do you know the name of your neighbor? Do you know the name of your neighbor? I am embarrassed to say that I live in a place with no actual near neighbors. We have people that live behind us down the hill, and we have people that live over next to us across a field, and they just moved in January. I know the names of the two neighbors of St. John's, the people who live next to us on Lowell and the people who live next to us on Otis Street. But beside that, I can't say that I know any of our neighbors here either. This morning's little prayer book parallel, this evening's little prayer book parallel has to do with neighbors. It's caught up in the contrast between the idea of the collect and the action of the story in the Gospel of Luke. Remember, the collect is a little reminder of another story from the Gospels, one we get to hear next week. It appears a little differently in the other Gospels, but the gist of it is the same. It's to condense to the smallest possible statement what it takes to be on the right track with God. We used to have a little reminder of this every Sunday that we celebrated the Eucharist, right at the beginning of the service, before we sang, "Lord, have mercy upon us," or "Glory be to God and on high." There always used to be these words. I'm going to see who looks like they remember them. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ saith. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." It was known as the summary of the law. And those of us of a certain age who grew up with the previous prayer book have it written on a small little clump of neurons somewhere in the back of our heads. It served at least one extremely useful function. It reminded us that all of the rules and regulations of the Ten Commandments were equaled in importance by the basic idea of the Golden Rule. Said in different words, if you want to get to heaven, you cannot get there all by yourself. You cannot do it on your own. You'll have to engage with other people, and what's more, you will have to love them, and those people will be your neighbors. We're taught a little bit about what this idea of neighbors is in the gospel lesson today. The story is Jesus sending out disciples to do the work of disciples. We usually think this is something that only happened after Pentecost, after the whole story was over and the church gets started. But the text tells a different story. The followers of Jesus tagging along around with him are actually sent out to do work ahead of him. It might be the case that they went out with a little bit of a reputation going in their favor, or more to the point, a reputation about the movement that they were a part of. And we get this idea that they're not just passively looking to be helpful to people. They're not just trying to find little old ladies trying to cross the street. They are about the business of finding themselves a home somewhere, a family, or maybe a few families, where they can set up a base of operations. So just imagine how it would look if we did that here. It would mean that we would all leave this place and go knock on doors around Newtonville, and that by itself is virtually something nobody does anymore. We don't even see door-to-door salesmen these days, and when we do, we're likely to call the Newton police. But if somebody did open the door to us, the first thing we're supposed to say is, "Peace be to this house," which, you know, is a nice thing to say, but it might get you a door in your face. And if you hadn't already been thrown out, then this is something like what we would be saying. "I'm part of a group of people who have been following around a fellow who says that instead of being concerned about the things that we all worry about, you know, things like our health or our income or our reputation or our prominence in society or stuff like that. What we all should be worried about is our relationship with God. And he thinks that the best way for us to get that relationship back to where it's supposed to be is if we all start taking very seriously treating each other really well, instead of seeing each other as people who are obstacles or problems to our goals. So I was wondering if maybe I could use your house as a place to get started telling people around you about this idea. And I'm going to have to be here about a month or so, and I'm going to be here at meal times. But otherwise, I'll be in and out quite a lot. And by the way, it'd be really great if you had wireless internet. May I come in? I cannot imagine any of us being willing to go out to make that request to folks in Newtonville. I can imagine at least some of us who would say yes to someone who came to our door asking this, if only out of sheer curiosity to see what this was all about. But the point of the story is that disciples don't identify their neighbors passively. They don't have neighbors, they make neighbors. The disciples in the story and the disciples that we are always on the lookout for a way to make a connection with other people on the ground of the gospel's message. That little idea fills most of us with dread. Because we think of our faith as a private affair. We have a pretty strong argument that says the way our whole society works is by tolerating all claims of conscience, by respecting each other's beliefs and expecting that everyone else will respect ours. The way that works is by keeping our ideas about God to ourselves and expecting everyone else to do the same. So we have a kind of reflexive aversion to the idea of evangelizing. We do not like it when others do it, and so we have no intention of doing it ourselves. And we have a very good reason, even a righteous reason, for the view we take on it. The problem is, when we set it up like that, it is easy to give ourselves an excuse for keeping our beliefs to ourselves, not just in word, but in deed. Okay, we're not going to go knock on doors in Newtonville and hand out Bibles. That's fine. But it turns out there is still a way for us to witness to the faith that we learn here in ways that are not offensive to our social norms of tolerance. And that way is the difference between evangelizing and a different idea, neighboring as an active verb. The idea is to preach without the words. We're going to hear more about this next week when the gospel lesson brings around the old story of the Good Samaritan. For right now, all I want to do is leave you with this simple idea that our all too ready defense of keeping our faith to ourselves is not enough for us to carry out the idea of loving our neighbors as we love ourselves. There are other ways of evangelizing available to us, ways other than thumping Bibles and harassing the consciences of others. That way is to think of neighbors not passively, not as nouns waiting to cross our paths, but actively as verbs. Neighbors are not something we are. Neighboring is something we do. And when we do it, we are doing two things at once. We are living out our call as disciples, and we are helping others to find discipleship too.